The GAA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GAA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go, and so I opened up.
We're only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
Welcome along to the GAA. This is the Hurling Show. We're back to the hurling snobs. So any of you have tuned out for the last 4 months without any hurling pundits, you can start coming back to us now again. So Michael's here with me and Cheddar's here as well. So lads, I've missed you badly, because it has to be pointed out that in the last 4 months I have been the hurling expert on the panel. Now you're both laughing at that.
Yeah, a lot.
So Conan and Connor are football snobs, so I'm the only one that has any idea. I've learned a lot in the last few years from me hurling pundits. So there's been occasions on the football show or on the GAR combined show where we hadn't really much of an idea we were talking about. So we'd end up, I'd look to the two lads and they'd just look back at me. So one was Niall Deasy's goal against Ballygunner. So it was a long ball and it went in off his hand. And we were trying to discuss whether this was a fluke or whether he actually tried to ricochet this into the net.
Yeah.
So that's the first one I'm going to hit you with, just to rewind a little bit.
I thought fluke, to be honest with you. Yeah, like, you know, it's not a... I don't think any forwards in the game would ever try and slap a ball in.
With your hurl.
Yeah, you'd flick it with your hurl if the ball's coming in high, Willie, but you very seldom see a lad trying to come in and hit it with his hand.
And actually, it's the football flick.
Might try and claim it, but I don't think it'll be ever done on purpose.
Okay, well, I'll throw the other one at you, Cheddar. It was Adrian Mullen's goal in the Leinster Club final. It was Ballyhale Shamrocks against Ballyboden, and he did a beautiful piece of skill that we were told about it, but we didn't realise how unique this was, or how I didn't notice it at the time, where he caught the ball with the wrong hand, the hand that usually you hold at the end of the hurl. And because I didn't notice in real time, I wondered, does this happen often, or was this a brilliant unique piece of skill by Mullen?
It is a brilliant unique piece of skill, but it has happened before. DJ would have often done that. I think Michael made the point earlier on, look, it's the direction he was running in, and just says the skill this guy has to be able to take the ball, you're changing the position and you're hurling to flick it in. But look, it's not unusual, and certainly DJ would have done it regularly. And, you know, maybe it came from DJ, from his handball skills, and that, you know, you're using hand to the ball and that. And look, a lot of coaching and training in hand to the ball type skills, there's a lot of work done in that now to change your hands, and all the top coaches now will not allow you just coach your what you're comfortable with. So I'm not surprised to see that. I'm not surprised to see him doing it either. You know, he's done it at colleges levels up along on that as well.
Yeah, we might talk about his impact a little bit later in part two. This weekend, lads, we have Wexford and Limerick is the big game on TG4, TG Cahir. I get killed for saying four all the time by the Gael Goers. And we have Tipperary Clare on Saturday night on Air Sports. So we're right back into the mix. Great games, fantastic games, and we're going to talk about that in part two. But what everybody's talking about at the moment, lads, is Central Council approving a decision to raise the ticket prices for both hurling and football. Now, it's a 33% increase, lads. You're going from 15 to 20. So, and then online, it was 15, and if you booked online, it was 12, and now that's gone up by 25%. That's gone up from 12 to 15 if you book ahead online. Inflation is 1%, Cheddar. They're gone up 33% and 25%. It's a huge, huge hike. Now, in a weird way, we'll talk about this on the football show as well. I can see in the hurling point of view, the game at the very top level, elite level, has never been better. Like, under that, it's not as good, but they haven't raised those prices. So coming off a great year to increase the prices, I kind of see it a little bit in hurling, a little bit economically. In the football side of things, the game is not going well, attendances are down. I don't think the right thing to do in that situation is to increase prices. But in the hurling thing, is it as contentious?
I think, look, there's probably a couple of aspects to it, Willie, really. You know, I think the media latch on to these things, to be honest with you, and I know you are yourself as well. I see some media articles putting two and two together and latching on to Parky Keeve and Galway problems and all of these type of things. And I think, you know, on a wider issue, I think the GAA might do better at communicating, you know, where revenue comes in and where expenditure goes and that, because if you listen to John Horne, and I've no reason to disbelieve him, that, you know, the increase here is going to clubs, and I say a lot lot of clubs would welcome that. But I do think, Willie, that the increase, the problem I have with it is that it's for the league. And just think about that for a minute. I mean, Cork are playing Kilkenny in Nolan Park this weekend. Leash are playing Galway. So if you have a family from either of those two counties making that journey, it's a serious hit, on a league day, on a winter day, when it might struggle to go there anyway. And that's even more difficult for the counties in the lower tier, because you're not going expecting to win the matches. So it might be easy for Cork to go, but it's difficult for a Leash family to go to Galway, yeah, to support the team, because you mightn't have your expectations of winning. And look, I suppose all of the matches that you remember, generally speaking, have been sort of underpinned by great crowds and great atmosphere at it. An increase like that for the league in the middle of winter, might decide that a family doesn't go. And I just think that they should really consider the league. I probably don't have a difficulty with the Championship and with the All-Ireland, that they are spectacles, and certainly all the other sports at a comparable level are much, much more expensive to go to, and I would suggest much less entertainment. So I don't have a difficulty probably with the Championships. I do think the GA should explain all of these revenue and that a little bit more. I know they do, because I know some journalists have got their teeth into this and didn't find anything. So I'm probably a little bit in the middle ground on this. I think they should reconsider it for the league, try and build support for games when it's difficult to go to and have good games and that, and maybe reconsider it then for the Championship and that.
Yeah, maybe I do find the clubs thing though, they could increase them by €20 and say, well, we're giving it to the clubs and everyone has to shut up, because we all love club level, we all love grassroots level. I think that's quite cynical to immediately say, well, why can't it come somewhere else for the clubs, instead of throwing the expense onto people, especially in the hurling, lads. We saw the Munster League last year. Revenue was up in the Munster League last year. We had way more matches. They were brilliantly attended. I'm not sure they need to increase the hurling tickets at all.
Yeah, well, I think Cheddar hit the nail on the head there, Willie. Just communication. Like, at grassroots level, people will not see where this money goes. Like, they won't know where it goes. It's too shady, where you won't see it, and these are the people who go into games week in, week out. And in the statements they released, it's increased grants for club facilities and redevelopment and funding to county boards. Is that funding for inter-county players who grassroots people will never see, and that's, I think that's the bitter pill to swallow for people, that they just won't see it. If money goes to a county board, the expenses for inter-county teams now is so great, and it's getting bigger and bigger every year. And are they willing to pay an extra €5 for a game to see that? And they'll never see it in their pockets or their clubs, And that's the big question.
No, that's true. It's a big risk for them. Yeah, there's no absolutely point in saying everything else. Now, John Fogarty did point out, well, there would usually be no reason to disbelieve John Horan, but I think he was a little bit disingenuous when he said that they hadn't been increased in the since 2011. Because John Fogarty on Twitter says it's the first review of ticket prices since 2011, but it's absolutely not the first time tickets have been increased since 2011. He pointed out a good few occasions, like the Ulster Council went crazy last year on the Ulster Championship matches. They were €35. So it's not fair to say this is the first time since 2011.
I know, but again, just to get balanced there, was John speaking about the league rather than the league and the Championship? I'm not sure.
I think season tickets have gone up since 2011. There was definitely, he was able to disprove the 2011 one anyway.
Statement,
But John Horan is probably right in saying it's the first review since then.
I think to finish on that point, I think Michael is right. And I think if we were a little bit more specific about where the money was going, particularly in the counties, because even you said that it's going to clubs in the counties, but is it really, or where is it actually going to? I think if the community, at the end of the day, we're all GA people. Yeah. The supporters that go and the people that look after the GA, we're all the one family. So it's not a them and us we should be looking at. But I think that GA could explain it a little bit better, and I think then people wouldn't have a problem. And I think if they were specific that they were raising prices to improve the quality of the games in these counties, whatever that is, I think people would buy into it and would go with it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. There's no relegation for the league this year, lads, before we move on. I don't know what kind of an impact this has, because last year, remember, we discussed in the preview show how much less significance the league will have based on the fact that you take a month off after it and then you come back into another league. And that's how it panned out. Yeah. You know, everybody's looking back and they used the league to almost a dry run for the league, which is the league championship now. Now there's no relegation. So there is still relegation from 1B. So like the Laois and the Offaly and the Carlow will still have to fight for their lives. Yeah. But in the 1A, there's no relegation. So next year, it's going, the Hurling League is going to be restructured. So 1A and 1B are going to be more fairly distributed with the quality of teams, because we know that 1A is stronger. Yeah. And it's just funny that the last two All-Ireland champions has come from 1B, because I've always claimed that that's easier to be back there. And it was always the case, no, you need the hard games. That's not how it's proved. So anyways, we know Davey loves going for the league, and will we see a watered down league, Cheddar? Will we see Wexford, who would have played their best 15 last year in all the games, experimenting? And is that going to, you know, is it going to affect the quality or even the interest in the league?
No, I don't think it is, actually, Willie. I think all managers and all teams will be looking at the league for different reasons. There certainly are a number of teams this year that need to perform well in the league for a number of reasons. One of them is just to gain momentum. A couple of others need to re-find, I suppose, the spirit in their squad and that, and simply cannot start off with a couple of other defeats. And others need to settle their team and that. So there's different, you know, in regards of whether there was relegation or whether there wasn't, managers were going to adapt the same policy anyway of what they were going to do with their team. So I don't think it'll make that much difference. Probably what worries me a little bit more, and particularly as a Laois man, and particularly just, I suppose, talking about the Offalys and the Carlows and the Westmeaths that had this world, is what's going to happen next year. And, you know, is that going to be to the benefit of these counties?
Yeah, because they, well, if when it's restructured, they have no hope of making quarterfinals. Then, like, I mean, absolutely, that's, you know, that's, they've just been hung out to dry. Where there was a little bit of a carrot for them, yeah. Michael, as in the Laois could get into a quarterfinal, which we have done. That suddenly now they won't have a chance next year. That's the reality of
it. Yeah, and you have to keep lads interested, Willie. And what you might find this year now with no one going down from 1A will be that you might see a new face, a new superstar arriving that who wouldn't have got a chance earlier on the league because they can't afford to drop points.
Yeah.
But now they might give lads a chance, and managers might discover some new talents in the panel that they weren't aware of up to now. So yeah, that could be one big positive from it. And also the Fitzgibbon lads, they might give the rest of you with them.
That's a big thing,
lads.
You have
to play them if you're going to lose points. You
they're
know?
All giving out about Fitzgibbon. Yeah. Now, this feels like Groundhog Year, because I remember this exact conversation last year, yeah, and the exact same mistakes, lads. So even Laois. Laois have Enda Rowland, they've Ryan Mullany, they have Sean Downey, they've Stephen Bergen, they've Mark Dowling, they've Andrew Mortimer, they've Owen Gaughan. A small county like Laois, they're all with IT Carlo. Mm. I have the Brian Cody complaining about it. Mm-hmm. You have Pádraig Fanning giving out about
Kenny,
it. And Maddie Kenny giving out about
the panel,
and Pádraig Fanning is coming from a WIT background, so he knows both. You have Tom Kingston, the UCC manager, losing his head about player welfare. Eddie Brennan, they're all doing it. So the league starts this weekend, and there's Fitzgibbon Cup tomorrow night.
Yeah,
and this is being repeated after all the commotion and the giving out last year.
Yeah, like, it is a tough year to manage everything, especially with colleges wise. And but like, lads are going to play two games this week. Really, definitely. Like, some lads are going to have to play. Like, Dublin can't last without them. I think they've 22 players. Maddie Kenny said between Fitzgibbon and their team, and they have to. They want to do well in 1B. They can't afford to go down. Like, so as you say, someone's going to be relegated in 1B. You don't want to be in that battle at the end of the year,
which they were last year.
Exactly. So you don't want, so they haven't really got a choice. They have to play these lads, and lads are going to have to play two or three games in a week, which is asking a lot from young lads, you know. And it's where you pick up injuries as well, and at a young age, and then you have to get the injuries sorted. So player welfare is an issue. With 1A, as you say, they have that cushion of no one's going to be relegated, so they might get to rest these lads a little bit more.
Realistically, they should rest the players, Cheddar. If they're looking at player welfare, there's no relegation. Should they be resting these lads? Like, for Eddie Brennan, for example, now he's in 1B, he can't rest them. Yeah. But they've Galway and Waterford first, which is a terrible start for Laois. Now, in a weird way, you wouldn't be expected to win them anyway, so maybe it's a good thing that it's not like they're playing Offaly or Carlow, where they could beat them and they have, you know, have to play these lads from the Thursday. But he says in the first two games in the league, is in the middle of that, you have three rounds of Fitzgibbon. Christ almighty, there's
first thing, Oli, you wouldn't be going down to Galway or Waterford going down to lose the matches. No. That's the first thing I'll say.
No, but you'll
be going down there to rip the match out of them.
You're not going to make or break your league, though, I would imagine.
I take your point. Look, this is a wider issue. It's not necessarily about the Fitzgibbon Cup. Let's talk about the Fitzgibbon Cup first of all. It's a great competition. It has been great to the weaker counties, if we want to call them that. For a long number of years, Laois had one player on the first 15 of the Fitzgibbon Cup, and I remember one of the years I was involved when we had actually nine on the first 15, and I regard that as great progress within a county. And just think of it for a minute, like your players are mixing with all-stars, playing with all-stars, working with top-class managers, and look, in my time, that was like the DJ with Carlo, and it was Nicky with UCD, some serious managers. So I think the players are at their development stage, learn an awful lot about hurling and understand where the standards and all of that are. And I think it's really, really good. And I would say that, and I can only just talk about my own time, that the Fitzgibbon managers, all of the ones I was involved with and ourselves, would work out what that is, understand what programmes they were on, and try and lessen the workload on players. So it's not as serious an issue, I think, as it's made out to be. I take Michael's point that there's a lot of games being played here at a very, very high level. I do think Fitzgibbon is a very skillful competition. It probably lacks a little bit of the sort of the cut that inter-county hurling would have. But I think it's just simply a wider issue here. How are we going to fit in some of the competitions that we want to hold on to? And we're going to have to get rid of one or two other competitions. How are we going to fit in Fitzgibbon League, Provincial League Championship, and then the All-Ireland, and still run a club championship at the same time?
Yeah.
And there's an awful lot of sort of people have offered their tuppence worth on it, but there's enough intelligent people in the GA to gather a group together to look at it. And you need to look at it on a county-by-county basis. You take Laois of 16 or teams. Carlow, I think, have three. Running their club competitions is very different than Tipperary, where you actually have four divisions and maybe, I don't know, maybe around 30 senior teams. So somebody needs to start to stand back and look at that. Incidentally, there was one solution that I heard that I think would help out greatly, that the National Hurling League and the start of the club championship could be run together. But the trick to do with that was that in each of those weeks, that players would train half the time with their clubs and half the time with their county, because the problem is training and preparation for games. The actual problem isn't the games themselves. You're asking your club players to play with your county up to the Sunday, and then without any, you know, games or challenge games or anything that with your club, stand in then in April and start playing important club matches, and it doesn't work like that.
No.
And the opposite is also the case. As Michael Ryan found in Tipperary last year, a whole pile of Tipperary championship matches were played in May. He had no time to prepare his team for a championship, and you know, look what happened. So I think if all of the counties were sort of on a reasonably level playing pitch throughout the month of March and April, that maybe, and I know one county does this, cause, and that's why I know about it, and I just said to myself, isn't that a great idea? And it might solve the problem here, that you can play club championships, train with your club maybe two nights, and train with your county for two nights. And I know an awful lot of us, including me as a county manager, would be screaming blue murder about
you
that.
You wouldn't want it, you see.
Because I haven't oversighted the players and all of that. But we're going to have to bite a bullet somewhere.
Someone is. Otherwise, someone has to take a hit and roll back. And it's usually inter-county managers that are going to have to go, this is a very professional setup, we don't want to lose them. Well, sorry, you do have to lose them.
Well, yeah, I think a couple of years ago, I probably would have been the man loading the gun on that, but I'd be probably more comfortable with it now as a county manager, because a lot of clubs have a very sophisticated strength and conditioning model for the year anyway. So what you're doing with your club now is not that terribly far removed from county. And you look at the likes of Cool and the Pearcy and all of those, they have management teams equal to any, or any of the teams in Dublin here, Michael, you would probably
absolutely
agree, have management teams as good as any of the counties. So you training with your club, it's just important that the conditioning people know where they are in the programmes that you're in, and where the down weeks are, and all of those things that they talk to one another. I think if that sort of level of honesty was between everybody, I think we'd fix the fixtures problem, and then that makes it a little bit easier to be able to run the Fitzgibbon Cup in a free, you know, in a free week or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, exactly. Right, lads, we'll come back and we'll actually preview the league.
You can't touch this. Touch this.
A few weeks later, they played Kilkenny below Nolan Park, the same year.
Can't touch this.
And they were being hockey. But the camera went in, there was a fella warming up. Well, Jesus, you should see him. Yeah, the fuck. He was massive. Legs, ass, built. But I bust out laughing watching him. There he was, the epitome of what I said.
I told you, homeboy, you can't touch this. Yeah, that's how we living, and you know, you can't touch this.
So we're going to start with the All-Ireland champions, Limerick. I thought it was an interesting one with Limerick, because, you know, for as long as I can remember in hurling, The All-Ireland champions immediately go in as favourites the following year. Limerick are joint third favourites this year. Do you know what I mean? It's like the bookies don't necessarily believe that they're going to do it again. Was it a one-off? I don't get it myself. They have all the Napiercy lads back this year. They have no distractions. They're a year older. They have the monkey off their back. Mm. They have the confidence. Like, I mean, is it a bit of an insult to Limerick to have them coming in this year as a Division 1A team, All-Ireland champions, as third favourites for the All-Ireland?
John Coyley must be the happiest man in Ireland at the moment. like nobody's speaking about them, and like everyone sort of, not just the media, everyone I speak to says it's a bit of a flash in the pan. Oh, they're a really good side, but they might do well this year, but not win the All Ireland. He must be so happy. Like they're young, hungry lads, and last year they showed no fear, and that was without winning an All Ireland point. Now they have, and they have that experience. And they've such a strong panel, Wooly.
Such a strong panel.
Really fancy them
for
this
the
year.
League,
you know, and they've really good club scene, like really strong club players. Loads of young talent there. Like the average age in that team must be so young. Like they're ridiculously talented. And again, like just without any fear. And John Coyley strikes me as a man who's going to keep their feet firmly grounded. Like, you know, and I just think I don't know how the third favourites. Like, yeah. I don't know how they aren't favourites.
In a weird way, they need a good league cheddar just to not let, because you know, maybe like what Michael said, there are people out there who go, "Oh, well, Limerick won't win it again." Like if they start the league badly, that could seep into the squad. I think Coyley needs to hit this league and go, "Listen, we are a force. Let's, you know, let's change that attitude."
It probably is important in that way, and you could draw comparisons with Galway last year, who sort of slow pedaled for a little while there before they ramped up in pace and that, and that probably contrasts a little bit with how Brian Coyley approaches things over a 10 or 12 year period, where he went just ball headed for everything. But I think the big thing for Limerick is not necessarily that. I think it's more technical than that. I think Paul Kinnerk will have experience in 2013 with Clare. Limerick certainly won an All-Ireland last year with two real massive pieces in their armoury. They had a really, really good game plan that opened up space in their forward line with good precision hurling, and had really good substitutes to come in on the day with a different way of playing, but that were used to playing one another, and particularly the Napiercy players, that really changed the course of the game. I can guarantee you, over the winter, every manager worth his salt will have viewed Limerick's game plans, what sets them up, what makes them different, what creates the space and all of that. So I think the critical thing is that they need to come back with some tweaking of the game plan that they have. And that's going to be really interesting, because the Napiercy players that came back didn't really fit into that last year. They came with a different thing. Peter Casey came with a different thing. Mm-hmm. William Dunahan in the middle of the field. And
Shane Dowling.
Shane definitely, is a different type of player than they had that defensive wing forward that they were looking at there. So I think they have some work to do, but, you know, isn't it brilliant to have, all of those tools at your disposal to be able to do that? But I do think that Paul Kinnerk's experience with Clare in 2013, where he sort of came back with Brody the same way of playing in 2014 and was unhinged in that, will serve him in good stead. I think it's probably reasonable to put Limerick where they are. I know they deserve to be a number one, and Michael is right, they've won the All-Ireland. What more do you do to prove yourself? But I think the level of competition and the level of performance in all the top eight or nine counties is such this year and the last couple of years that it's probably not unusual that Limerick aren't regarded as All-Ireland favourites.
Yeah, maybe. And like, I mean, we all know that the following year after winning an All-Ireland, you have to introduce a few new players or it'll go stale, and you have to keep lads on their toes. And I think maybe Galway again fell into that trap where, for All-Ireland, you know, the heat of the battle, they ended up with the same team and pretty much the same tactics. Johnny Glynn a little bit different, but they looked a little bit stale come the end of the year. So, like, I mean, what is the blueprint for these teams to come back the next year? How can you rip up something that works?
Yeah, look,
you're not going to say, "Oh, they have it figured out." No. You'll wait to see is it figured out, and then a good performance will reinforce, "Oh, well, this is working." Yeah. And then it could, like Galway last year, you get to the All-Ireland final, you realize, "Jesus, maybe we should have." Like, it's a very, very brave thing to do what Cheddar's saying, you know, and maybe throw another angle on it this year, which I think it is absolutely what they have to do.
Yeah, look, Galway weren't far off last year, had a great year again, and look, it's just tweaking little things, Willie, you know, like they have the personnel, so you don't have to bring mad numbers in. It's just, as you say, as Cheddar said, just changing one or two things, and maybe how the ball is distributed in, or how like more direct, or sometimes play the lines. And if you just, like, Limerick will change it up a little bit. They won't play the same game plan because, as Trevor said, everyone's going to look into it. But it doesn't mean you have to go a million miles away from it, because it's a working, it worked last year. You got them in all Ireland final. So just if you tweak little things between here and there, again, they have the panel to come in, and the subs were huge for Limerick last year, and they do add either a bit of pace or a bit of strength everywhere that came in. Like Ryan in the corner always, like, he was phenomenal last year when he came in all the time, just the speed of him, you know. And like, they have
maybe
the
bench will keep the lads on their toes, like Dublin. Although Jim Gavin, like, every year he'll bring in two lads that won the All-Ireland the previous year won't be on it, and you're like, that's but that, why do Dublin keep winning? Because nobody's sure of their play. You know, maybe you have to be that cutthroat. I look through that Limerick team and I say, who would you drop? It's hard to pick someone that you drop.
I think really that's the real thing, though. You cannot just drop somebody for that principle, that I want to freshen it up, because players will smell that straight away, that that's what you're doing, and then it's meaningless. You're, you know, your move is meaningless. You've got to generate that, and I'm actually interested that you said Jim Gavin, because you know, a couple of players came off the Dublin panel for that, and I'd say Jim was probably happy enough that he didn't have to drop anybody, but nonetheless it just reinvigorated the panel to drive on even harder. I mean, Ryan Cody's done with Kilkenny for a number of years without having to make a whole lot of changes. But I think at the end of the day, if you don't get up to the intensity of the preparation that you did the year before, you're going to be in a little bit of trouble. And putting in a player or two there won't change that. It's much more fundamental than that, in terms of the work that you do in training, and the way you communicate it to your team, and the moves you make, and everything that you do as a manager is really, really important. I think Galway's interesting. Galway didn't roll over everybody the year before. They struggled over a lot of teams and just got there by a pint. Last year, they were the other side of that, by a pint, in a, you know, on a number of occasions. So it's not that they regressed a huge amount. They may not have been just at the 100%. It might be still 99%. But, you know, there wasn't much in it. And I probably think that a lot of the counties are saying, I mean, Cork should have beaten Limerick in the All-Ireland semi-final. Injuries definitely knocked them out. And, you know, they were cruising that game coming down the stretch. So if Cork had won it, what would you be saying about Limerick now? You know, so you've got to take, I think, in the whole context of the thing. But I firmly believe you've got to have a real serious competition for places in your team, but that needs to be cohesive. It cannot be just, you know, just proving the point or something.
Yeah, merit based.
It does, correct. Yeah. And I think when you have that and you've good players, you know, you have always a great chance.
I thought John Kiely made an interesting comment. He said, I think he was talking about preparing for the league and preparing for the new year. And we know traditionally all Ireland champions that haven't won it in a long time go ape crazy and all that kind of thing. And he was making the point, even though it has to be pointed out that Kyle Hayes went to the pool the morning after winning the All-Ireland, because I interviewed him out in the City West. But John Kiely says, the nature of celebrating All-Irelands has changed. Fellas are busy with their clubs as well for months, and the club scene is taken so much more seriously now. A load of lads are back to work, back to college. They have a lot of demanding stuff going on for themselves. I suppose it's not the same as what it used to be, but we still had a couple of great nights out. And I thought that was interesting, in that the idea of going ape for 2 weeks is probably, you know, it's probably gone. And like, they're all so serious now, and they take recovery seriously, and they're back into a very, very serious club scene, college, university. Maybe that idea that you go mad, is that gone? I think it's a bit sad if it's gone altogether.
I would have meant eight for 2 weeks. No, look, it's a thing you're chasing for so long. I know, like, when you spoke to Kenny lads after, like, they went mental after all their wins, you know, and like, lads work so hard and so mentally and physically draining. Like, I think they have every right to go bananas for a week or two after, because it takes so much of their life after.
Maybe it's not the week or two after it. Even that's one thing. But then maybe up until the Christmas. So maybe you'd all meet up and you'd have, you know, you'd be out a lot leading up into Christmas, and you get out of shape. That's definitely gone.
No, yeah, it is. Because the young lads as well, as you say, with the club and colleges, and they have so much to keep them going. I don't think there's any fear of them getting out of shape. It's the lads, I suppose. The older statesmen who maybe aren't with clubs.
I don't think it's the actual physiology. I think it's more the psychology of it more than anything else. You just lose your hungry edge and all of that, and you're sort of sated. And of course, when you go to these sort of events, you know, your back's nearly broken with the claps in the back and so on. And you sort of believe that little bit after a while. I thought what was very interesting about John Kiely was actually what was between the lines. Because what I'm reading here is John Kiely is managing lifestyles of players. And I think that's where, you know, management has gone to such a detail now that it's just managing absolutely everything. You leave nothing to chance. And John's not leaving anything to chance that, you know, players are going to get soft underbellies for Limerick next year. He's going to have them ready. And, you know, I would imagine that that's pre-planned.
Yeah, no, maybe it is. Tipperary, lads, is an interesting one. Liam Sheedy's back. He made headlines last week not allowing his goalkeeper Hogan to talk about Tipperary. I'm completely in a disagreement with that. But like, I mean, he made one statement here, so he's back in anyways, and we know how brilliant he was with Tipperary the last time. Here's a question for you about that. Liam Sheedy, the game Liam Sheedy left, where it was Tip versus Kilkenny in a traditional style game, and they were some of the best games we've ever seen in 10 and 11. Does Liam Sheedy need to completely... Does he need to be a different manager now than he was back then? And does he need a new style for Tipperary than he had back then?
No, I don't think so. I think Liam Sheedy was a great manager 5 or 6 years ago. And that's not just a general statement. He obviously managed an awful lot of things really, really well to get the success he did. So I think there's two aspects to that. How you manage Tipperary, and that's a very, very difficult job. They're a county that expects high performance every day of the week. They're a very big county with an awful lot of quality players. So even managing just player expectation in the panel of that is a very, very difficult job in Tip. I go back to your other point, Willie. I don't think it's comparing styles of play in 2010 or 2011 with styles of play now. And you don't, you're not trying to get a style of play to suit whatever it is the fashion at the minute. You're trying to get a style of play that suits the qualities that are within your own team. Drive that as far as you can and try and hammer the other team with that style of play and just gain the momentum that way. And I think Liam, of course you're going to keep an eye on other, and you're going to keep an eye on Limerick and what they're doing and all of that, as we spoke earlier on. But most of your time is going to be spent is, how can I settle my team to play in a certain way that's going to give me the best advantage and the best benefit of trying to win an All-Ireland here? And I guess that's what Liam will be looking at.
Here's another question, and we talked about this in the context of James Horan coming back to Mayo on last week's show. So James Horan came in after John O'Mahony, right? One of the more old school managers, and he had a huge impact because he raised the levels of professionalism. He completely transformed Mayo football. Yeah. Liam Sheedy came in after Babs, if I'm not mistaken. So he brought in a brilliantly professional setup. The players responded, this is fantastic, strength and conditioning, all these kind of things. Now Liam Sheedy's coming into a squad that has all that kind of thing. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So can he make that same hit of the players going, whoa, this is the best setup we've ever had? Whereas now they're going, well, like, I mean, sure, this is par for the course. Like, you know, can he have that same impact?
I think he can, definitely. Like, he's a fantastic manager. I slightly disagree with Cheddar. I think the game's evolved an awful lot since 2011. And Tip's major problem for the last 2 or 3 years is the distribution from the back line to the forward line, they've just given 90-yard balls in high and expecting their forwards to win it. Backs have got an awful lot cuter these days, and they know they don't have to win primary possession. They just have to break it down for each other and stop the play. And that's where Tip have been struggling for me over the last few years. I think he's going to have to come in, scramble that back line around a bit and have like the likes of Paddy Maher and all winning the ball, but then looking up and giving low fastball into that forward line and working the lines an awful lot more, because the panel and Tip is phenomenal. Like, the talent there is phenomenal.
Well, they still have the best forward line on paper, I think, outside of Cork in the country. Some of the talent is unreal.
The use of the ball is ridiculous. Like, you see the names Shamie Callanan and Noel McGrath, captain and vice captain this week, and like, to have them two leaders in your forward line,
John McGrath,
anybody would love it. Like, so I think he's definitely going to up the performance levels, but if he gets the team playing more like a team this year and not like 15 individuals out there, I think Tip are going to have a huge say this year. Like, yeah, you know, really surprised.
I think I do agree with Michael. I suppose that was sort of a very into earlier on that he's going to have to happen. That he's going to have to play it away, and he will. He'll play it away that's going to get the best out of his team. And I do agree with Michael that the distribution of ball and their movement off the ball and all that needs to be better. But I think the first thing he's got to do is reinvigorate the panel.
He's under 21 All Ireland winning team to come into that. Now they weren't fancied, but they still have a few lads from that.
And I can tell you, I know a fair bit about Tipperary club hurling. I can guarantee you there's a huge amount of quality players in Tipperary that could step into an inter-county team. But sometimes that's difficult when you have too many. And like, are they good enough in the positions that he needs to fill? And he definitely needs to figure out 3 and 6, and he probably definitely needs to figure out a combative midfield that's going to win a lot of possession around the middle third. He certainly has enough talent up front to do that. But I think just just prior to that, he's going to have to figure out how he's going to get more team cohesion into that panel, because just the morale seemed to have just been a little bit dissipated over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it did seem that. Gerard Brown is the under 21 midfielder who seems to have an awful lot of fire in his belly. Like, they need maybe some lad to come in and just give them that spark back. Now, I know Liam Sheedy will help them with that spark. He said he thinks that the energy and attitude that the players bring, if they can create that. So he's talking about energy, attitude. Again, I disagree that the players didn't have energy and attitude last year. I think they've gone maybe a bit. Maybe it's the staleness that he's talking about. But another thing on using the league, he said 12 or 13 of the starting positions and where they'll be playing have to be nailed down by the end of the league, said Sheedy. And I know Michael Ryan last year experimented an awful lot. He ended up rewarding the lads that were experimented with, and there was four debutants against Limerick and they got caught.
Yeah.
Do you know? So I don't know. Like, I mean, I think Liam Sheedy has a much more difficult job than maybe he might have thought.
Well, and
it's a great job and it's a terrible job.
Absolutely.
It's a weird one.
Kilkenny was the big one back then, I suppose. Once you get over that hurdle, you had a great chance to win the All-Ireland. But now, like, when you look at that league, like, it's so hard to pick a winning team from it. And that's just 1A. Like, so you really have realistically 7 or 8 teams who could win the All-Ireland this year. And like, it's a bigger, lot bigger challenge, I think, for me than it was 2011.
Yeah. So he tried.
I think the local championships in Tip take place right before the Munster Championship, and I did last year, and there's probably 3 serious competitions in Tip, and bear in mind there's 4 divisions in Tip. So you have club hurling going on right through May, and you're expected then to just put boot to the floor with a new game plan, new players, new way of playing and all of that within 1 week or 2 week, and that cannot be done. It's fine if you're an old team, if they're winning an All-Ireland or 3 or 4 All-Irelands, and you can go back and you can just turn on the tap again, but you can't do that with a new team. So I suspect he'll be doing a lot of work in the background with county boards and other people as well, maybe just for year one, and going to the clubs and say, look, I need a little bit of breathing space here to build what I want to build here, and we'll get back then to playing club championships again next year. I suspect he'll be trying to figure out something along those lines.
I think he has to, and I do take your point. The whole April they got too much in, and Mike, then the Munster League starts the first week of May. And then you have county like Laois, John Sugrue, who went away down to Kerry for a training weekend 2 weeks before the championship, but it was because he has to get some work done, and loads of counties doing this. This is banned in April. Yeah. Like, I mean, Cheddar, I'd say you'd be pulling your hair out as an inter-county manager. You lose all your players for April outside of training, maybe twice a week because there's matches at the weekend for them. So you get no quality work. It's only Tuesday, Thursday after work, which is often physical sessions because you might not have lights. Then you're out in the championship early May and you've done nothing worthwhile, and they won't... They ban you for a home game if you go away for a weekend to try and get some done. Like, that, it really is bizarre, isn't it?
Some of those things are a little bit bizarre, and you just wonder, do the people that make the decisions understand where preparation of county teams are? And look, just one little point, you know, puck out strategy in a team will vary from the games you're playing and from team to team. So you can get all of that right for a fortnight's time or a week's time, but it's going to be very, very different for the following week, because they might have a different way of defending, or you might have a different way of winning possession or something like that. So when are you going to get it done? And, you know, you're going to have 30 or 40 puck outs from your goal. You cannot just say, it'll be all right on the day and we'll just make it up as we go along.
Yeah.
Because if you were to do that, you're going to get battered as well as a manager that you weren't properly prepared for it, you know. So you know, it's time for people to make these type of decisions to listen to a few people first before they jump on these type of bandwagons.
Yeah, I think the whole thing is being looked at the end of this year maybe, and then we might see the whole season restructured the following year. We'll talk about Kilkenny here, lads, because the big thing jumping out at me from reading around about Kilkenny is they finally look like they might have somebody that will play full back and release Pádraig Walsh out to wing back, which everybody agrees, even Tommy was talking recently, wing back is his best position. Yeah. We all know he's better at wing back, but he's also a very good full back.
Yeah.
But there's a fella called Hugh Lawler. His funny spelling of the name is H-E-W, so I have my eye on this fella now. Yeah. So he plays for O'Loughlin Gaels, and he's actually versatile enough, but he played a lot with O'Loughlin Gaels at full back. He's 6'1" or 2", according to JJ Delaney. JJ says he's very impressive in the few games I see him at full back as well. Very quick, very direct. And again, when you're playing full back at the moment, you'd be out close to the sidelines. Look at the likes of Seamus Flanagan. You have to follow him everywhere. Mm. You'd have to have the legs as well. He's a guy that does have the legs, and he's a big, big guy too. So, like, I mean, you look at Kilkenny last year, you were talking about they needed a cornerback, they need a fullback, and they need a centre back. You've Paddy Deegan, who's nailed down to cornerback.
He's been brilliant.
Hugh Lawler, I'm not sure is it Hugh or Hugh, I presume it's Hugh. He's going fullback. Then you've Pádraic Walsh, Killian Buckley, who's an excellent centre back. Suddenly Kilkenny have a nice little bit of shape if they do that. And we know he's going to hit the league hard.
Oh, absolutely, he always does. And Kilkenny were good last year. Like, they were much better than I expected last year, Woolley. And with the Cody factor again, he's just going to drive them on, and the belief is going to be within that Kilkenny squad that they can win the All-Ireland. They're not playing any other game than the All-Ireland. So like, if you can get Pádraic Walsh out, like if you have a half-back line with Pádraic Walsh and Killian Buckley in it, there's not going to be many better half-back lines in Ireland. So they have a great stability there in the back line to work from. And again, with TJ and all up front, I think they have to find one or two more forwards. Like if Richie Hogan back fit and flying again, he'd be huge asset for Kilkenny, because last year he was just a bit stop start all year and couldn't find his mojo a bit, you know. So
Adrian Mullen has been hugely highly regarded with St. Kieran's. Like, the more I hear about him, he's scored 2-1 in the Leinster Club hurling final. He's a decent sized fella, a scoring wing forward. I think he repeated a year in Kieran's and ran amok the following year when he repeated or something like that. So like, I mean, this lad is somebody who could come up and make a mark. Obviously they won't have him during the league, Cheddar, because he'll be with Ballyhale.
That's not just Adrian, actually. There's a real plethora of that quality player in Kilkenny at the minute. And look, they've a fair forward line to try and fight their way into. If you look at last year, and you know, I did see some of the replays of the games last year just over the Christmas there, and look, Kilkenny had Limerick beaten, and probably untypical of them, missed a lot of scores. But just look at who they're missing. Paul Murphy and Colin Fennelly came back into the championship late, and it's difficult to ramp up to that level of pace again. They're going to be available to them this year. Walter Welsh was injured last year, a primary possession winner for them. Richie Hogan looks as if he's cleared up his back injury and is likely to have a good year. You're talking about three All-Stars and two Players of the Year, I think they are. And throw in that volume of quality players that are in Kilkenny. There's a huge volume of real quality players that have won a pile of colleges All-Irelands with Kieran's and so on, and with Kilkenny CBS. So I think that you know, Kilkenny definitely are on the march again, and I would think that, you know, I'll certainly put them serious contenders just to win an All-Ireland this year, Willie. They weren't that far away last year, and I was surprised by that.
I have them in there too. You've young Lahey there that was great in midfield. He's a year older now, and you know, he's a real brilliant hurler. He eventually settled on a position probably last year. So like, I mean, I think
the one thing I would say about him is that a lot of the players that they have in the forward line, even if you look at like John Donnelly and a lot of those players, are very, very good stick men, but just aren't that aggressive ball winners that Kilkenny typically like in terms of winning primary possession and that. They're really, really good stick men in possession. But if you look at the Kilkenny team of old, the first thing that they were really strong was winning aggressive primary possession and getting the ball in the hand and then being creative with it. They just don't seem to have got to that edge yet. But having said that, they only need to find another player like John Power or something like that to make things happen in the forward line, and then all of those players will click for you. So I think they're very, very close to, you know, to maybe having another team here that's going to be very hard to dislodge over a number of years.
You can laugh at this one all you want just before we move off Kilkenny, but Brian Cody hasn't won an All-Ireland since, when was it, 2014-15? So like, it's only 4 years, it's not much. But Brian Cody has that job for as long as he wants. He's a legend, whatever. But Brian Cody never ever had anyone Kilkenny that could potentially put pressure on him. Now we have King Henry, who's now into the mix. Honestly, but maybe does Brian Cody need that? Because like,
I disagree with that, Willie. DJ has been manager Carlo IT or IT Carlo, the proper name, and brought him to a Fitzgibbon Cup final for the first time ever for a college of that size.
But is he talked about in that kind of regard?
Yes he would. The reason he's not talked about, I suppose, as much is because Brian has been so successful.
True.
You know, this is no different than Alex Ferguson or whatever other manager you like to look at that's been hugely successful over a number of years. Mickey Hart's the same. You know, are there any people in Tyrone that are capable of taking over Tyrone? Of course there are, but you know, the guy guy has been so successful, why would you change something?
Which is, we don't want to get into the conversation. If Cody steps down, who gets it? Henry or DJ? Yeah. Jeez, that's another very. Yeah, you could do a full show the on the like. Right, on yeah. the
well, you've
that.
A Herity
that
now,
will be an interesting.
There's a good few of them now after
no,
stepping into
the you see, Herity, Eddie Brennan, they might as well forget about it.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say they're sick when they see Shefflin taking over.
Willie, you're going to have to tap into JJ now for that one.
JJ's making too much money out of Sky. He doesn't want to know about management.
Oh, he's doing a bit now. He's helping out.
So he'll be back next Thursday, JJ, for anyone who he's back in with us again this year. So Waterford, quickly, lads. So they haven't played in 6 months. So I'd say Waterford are a team, like Tipperary in the same boat. 6 months, like that's just a product of the new championship in that they're out. They were out in June.
Yeah.
These lads are chomping at the bit with a new manager. Apparently Padraig Fanning, he says this is how he described the style that Waterford would have, because obviously when everyone talks about Waterford they think of style. Now these are a team that got to the All-Ireland final last year and almost forgotten about now. He says, hopefully we're a hard working team. I'm not going to go into it too much about how we're going to play. We may use a sweeper at times, we may not. You have to play what's in front of you. As you saw with Clare last year, the ditch back to the sweeper, or the switch back to a sweeper at one stage. And I think, well, just reading from that is that Waterford are going to be flexible, but they might go away from the full-time sweeper for a while. And I think in the McGrath Cup, even though you can't read much into it, they're set up pretty orthodox. And even the Brick Walsh was thrown in a full forward, lads. This is a new Brian Corcoran. That's where I'd be playing Brick this year.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing Waterford in 1B in the league, just to see what style of play they're going to bring. He's going to have a chance there in 1B to try out a few things, and it's still going to be very competitive. Like, he's going to have some really good games there to work out, but it's very tough coming in after Derek McGrath. He was a loved manager. It's going to be very interesting to see how the players respond to that. Like, the hunger is definitely going to be there, really, after being, as you say, 6 months out, and
that's it.
They're going to be so eager to play, and they had so up and down last year, and you need that bit of consistency this year, and Fanning could get that out of them. You know, it's going to be very, I'm really looking forward to seeing Waterford this year and seeing how they go.
Yeah, and they were decimated by injuries in the championship, and they still, I think, did they almost draw with Cork in the last game, and they've Kieran and Shane Bennett back, which they didn't have last year. Stephen Bennett's racking up huge scores in the McGrath Cup now. He's on the freeze, you know, and the Brick is back. So, like, I mean, this is 1 year, Cheddar, genuinely. I know the hurling pundits are all very positive. It's very hard to pick an All-Ireland winner out of maybe six incredibly strong teams and three other strong teams. Would that be fair?
Yeah, no, that's
six or seven even.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Not dissimilar to last year. Look, I'm a little bit surprised about people writing off Waterford. Look, they've got quality players, and when you've got quality panel and quality players, you know, regardless if you did nothing, you have a fair chance of doing something. I know Padraig well, and you know, Padraig and his family have been steeped in Waterford hurling and have been for a long number of years, and you know, they're going to bring that passion. He's going to bring that passion to Waterford. And I thought it was interesting. You can always judge these things, particularly by the senior people in panels. And if Brick Wells thinks it's worth his while to stay on for another year, he's not staying on. And if he doesn't think that there's a chance of winning something or going for something here. And I thought that was a big statement. And, you know, regardless of where he plays at this stage of the year, doesn't make much difference. The fact that he fully committed to Waterford and that the others are back suggests that there's a cohesion in the camp and that they want to go away and do something. And I think Padraig will bring that to them, and he'll certainly bring a Waterford passion to them, as Derek did, but maybe a little bit different. And I think, knowing Padraig, that, you know, you will see a more fluid way of playing, maybe. You will definitely see tactical hurling. It may not be just rigid sweeper that you will see. But look, if you're playing Clare tomorrow and Clare playing with a sweeper, you're going to end up with a sweeper. Mm. So, you know, you need to know how to play it.
Well, that's it.
I think two critical things for Waterford. I think Padraig may change the style of management. And, you know, we spoke about this last year, Willie. We spoke about towards the end of the year that this is a crucial appointment for Waterford and how they approach this. Because, you know, the Waterford team under Derek had him for a long time. And I suppose it was individual motivation of players, you know, you would probably call it that style, because he knew them all and he knew what buttons to press. Now, does that panel now need to move on to real performance monitoring and management? You know, do your job. Here's the aspects of the job you need to do. Go away and do your job. And, you know, you need to eyeball players in that and so on. And will Padraig be able to bring the panel with him into that sort of, I suppose, a different style of management? The other thing is that he's in 1B, which is great to get that start, but he's playing a lot of matches away from home, including in the Munster Championship. And look, you can turn that in your favour, and you can sort of, you know, cement the Waterford public behind you, as in, look, everybody's against us here. You know, let's take this on and that, and you know, so he can galvanise Waterford. You need to do a little bit of work on it, but you can galvanise Waterford under that type of supporter. That, you know, if they feel there's a slight on them, they will get behind their team. He has quality, and he has a team that's used to playing to tactical hurling. So I think they've a lot of advantages. I'm just surprised that people seem to be writing them off so easy.
Yeah, they seem to be well down the list. Right, we'll come back and we'll do some predictions for this weekend.
Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. Let's chill the beans. 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 Let's chill the beans. There still is a lot of work to be done yet. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans. But I tell you, give us a year and a bit. Just give us a small bit of time. Just give us a small bit of time. Let's chill the beans.
All right, Paddy Power predictions, lads. So we'll start here in Division 1A. This is on Saturday night. This is the televised game on Air Sport, Tipperary, Clare. Tipperary are 4-6 favourites against Clare, 6-4 outsiders. We've talked about Tipperary. We need to talk about Clare, who got so close to the All-Ireland final last year. Shane O'Donnell, unfortunately, who played so well, he's going to be gone this year. He might be back for the championship. He's away in college in America. There's a fella, Dermot Ryan, who's flying it so far this year, lads. I don't know much about him. Colm Guilfoyle, a big fella at full forward. You have Niall Deasy, who is so good in the Munster Championship. He has to get a start here, lads, this year. So they have options now, and I thought maybe with Clare last year, they didn't have that bench that would strike fear into teams necessarily. They might have one or two, but they seem to have strength and depth. And you have Donal Maloney and Gerry O'Connor, Cheddar, whose 2 years were up and said they only wanted 2 years, and now they're back. So Clare strike me as a team that might be on a mission this year. I'd say the management says, lads, we'll give it one more year, you got so close, and let's bloody do it.
Yeah, look, I think they were quite close last year. They probably do need, you know, they certainly got some things really, really right. I mean, John Conlon going to full forward, you know, was a serious, serious play, and you know, he's a serious, serious player. And they have serious players. I mean, they're all Ireland champions in 2013, league champions in 2016. So they know what this is about, and they've got some serious hurlers in the likes of Tony Kelly and some of those. But I just think, you know, sometimes teams just plateau and they reach their performance level and they don't. I don't know, they don't seem to have that edge to really get over the line, and as we all know, the last couple of inches over the line are the hardest to get there, and so I just thought that the Gerry and Donald spent a lot of time last year changing some things around, even the way they manage the team and that, and you know, whether they can get that extra bit out of the team now to get over the line or not, time will tell. But I just think that they might just plateau in terms of performance and that. And they're very, very serious contenders, obviously, but they're coming into Semple Stadium against Clare, and or against Tipperary, should I say, and look, Tip have a point to prove here, and look, they're seriously disappointed Tipperary supporters in the league final last year. Whatever about being beaten by Kilkenny in Nolan Park, but not turning up for the fight is serious, a serious slight on all Tipperary people. And I think all Tipperary players have got to really look at themselves in the mirror and not let that happen again. And their first chance to actually do something about that is going to be Saturday night. I know Clare beat them there last year for the first time, and maybe ever in Semple Stadium, but certainly for a long time. But I'll be surprised if Tipperary don't just, by sheer force of will, go get the win on Saturday night in Turles.
I was reading a thing there during the week, and I thought it was very, very interesting. I hadn't thought about it, and it was Tipperary versus Kilkenny last year in Semple Stadium. Do you remember Kilkenny had lost the first two games and they were under a lot of pressure, and it looked like Kilkenny were on the slide. Tip had an experimental team. That game was in the mental pot. They had all their experienced lads on the bench. They could have put the foot on Kilkenny's throat and choked them. They didn't bring on any of the experienced lads, and they lost the game. They gave Kilkenny the boost they needed, and then they end up beating them in the league final. Like, isn't that a huge mistake from a Tip point of view?
Yeah, I suppose the Tip supporters said over not that they have this beat their bonnet with Kilkenny. Like, Kilkenny seemed to have the edge over them over the last decade or so. Just, I don't know if it's sheer willpower or Cody's thing, but Kilkenny just have that belief. And you'd be sure if Tip had lost their first few games and they were going to play Kilkenny, Kilkenny would have their strongest team out and stood on their neck, you know. And that's the difference there, because that changed Kilkenny's season last year, you know.
Big time.
Absolutely. But with the Clare and Tip game, I fancy Clare. I just have this feeling that, like, this is it for this Clare team. Like, they have a really great panel, and if they want to get the best out of the players that are all there, I think this is the year they want to win the All-Ireland.
Like, I think so too.
Between Donald Maloney and Jerry O'Connor there, like, they've experimented for 2 years now. This is the year for stability. Find that your best team and play them all the time. They know what system they want to play with. The likes of DC, Conlon, and Duggan, they're huge men, like, to have around your forward line, sprinkled with, like, Tony Kelly giving ball in. And I just think, and Podge there,
yeah,
between
Reedy
the lines
is very good.
Yeah,
too.
And Reedy, like, you have that right balance there. And
Aaron Shanahan's back this year, who missed all of last year
again,
except for coming on against Galway and got that great goal. They have loads of talent.
Loads. And like, they have plateaued, as Shetter said, but I think that was a 2 year thing of the two lads trying to find it.
Conor McGrath, who's gone off the boil. Like,
completely off the boil. Like, and I'd be trying to get my hardest to get Shane Donnellan back as well if I could for championship, because he's just a phenomenal talent.
I'd be sending Conor McGrath to a sports psychologist, the best in the world, and say, get this lad's head back to where it was.
Such a confidence player. Like, if he has a good game, say, against Tip this weekend, if he is playing, like, that sets him up for the year, you know. He's such a confidence player, and I've played against him. The speed of him, the control of his ball, it's just his head is just not in it for the last year or two. And again, if you get these players right, I just have a feeling that Clare are going to have a huge say this year, and I'm going to go for Clare definitely.
I'd find it a hard one. So Cheddar is going for Tip, you're going for Clare, is that right? I'll go for Clare as well. Dublin and Carlow is on Saturday night as well. Dublin are wanted 33 favourites for this. Carlow 10-1, who had a brilliant year last year. They did everything they could have done, Carlow, last year. Ended up losing to Limerick at home. Talk to us about Matty Kenny, Michael, because from the quotes I was reading, says it's our aim to have everyone available when we get into January, the Bowden boys and everyone. That is what we said when we met. We wanted to start the year with a healthy squad. You can have all the great players and all the talent in the world, but unless you're able to get them on the field, it's no good to you. That's our starting point, trying to get everyone on the pitch. And is that probably a fair comment from him?
Absolutely. Like Gilroy did great work last year. He had a really young panel and had them playing in a way he wanted them to play. Matty Kenny's going to play a different way, but he got the players there, you know.
Cooler style is different to Gilroy's style last year.
Absolutely,
right?
Cooler style is very fit and fast. But what Gilroy did was he got a great panel there of young lads and gave them 1 year's experience of top class management and playing against the likes of Kilkenny and the top teams, and it stood to them. Like, I went to watch them against Galway in the World Cup semi final, and they're looking up more. They're trying to play. You can see the cool imprint on them already, and it's
really
so early in the season. They're looking for the man off the shoulder all the time and playing the lines, and they're not hitting brainless balls up the pitch just for the sake of it, you know. And like, Rushy is there as a target man and he's hurling well, but I think he'll be there as if lads are really under pressure and giving the ball in, he's an option there.
You can do both.
Absolutely. But like Darragh O'Connell's a huge one. Like, he's been phenomenal for Coolah, and he's like, from playing them over
the
years.
He's a midfielder, is he? No?
Midfielder. And where Dublin struggled is midfield.
And Mark Shute is back too.
Mark's back, and I've seen him there that day, and he's huge. Like, just the physique on him from when I last seen him, he's absolutely a monster. Like, you know, some from Dublin has stood to him, like, would have been with the footballers.
Yeah.
He's going to be huge when he comes in now. I think he's. I don't think he's back yet, but Dara's back because he came on at the end of the Galway game. And like, Dublin have struggled to find that midfield partnership, and I think if you maybe have him and Jake Malone, two cooler lads, they know how to interlink the play there, and if that's what Matty Kenny wants, I think that's going to be a huge say within the panel,
right?
Know,
so Dublin defenders will be looking up, they'll be looking for these two lads, and then they'll be moving it
through the lines. Where they struggle, well, he is free taker wise, you know, so midfielder and free taker, so you're going to have either Paul Ryan or David Tracy. They've both been injured, so I'm not sure if they're going to be back this weekend, because they missed a few crucial frees against Galway, and if you had to score them, they would have beaten them that day, you know. So free taker wise and midfield is where they're going to really have to improve on this year.
Right, and it looks like they have
absolutely.
What do you think? He's a good match for Dublin. I think he is, Cheddar.
Oh no, there's no doubt about that. I think Dublin are serious, have serious potential here, Willie. And Matty has a serious panel at his disposal here of the type of players that he wants to play the type of hurling that he wants. But therein lies a little bit of an issue, because that will be different than the game that they played, very different to the game they played last year. And, you know, some of the players that played last year may not fit into that. And, you know, Matty will be ruthless. He has to be in looking at that. But he's an awful lot of players that we really haven't seen yet that Michael will know well here. There's a young Sullivan there from Bridget's. There's Donald Burke. There's a younger Crummy. I was very impressed with Ronan Hayes there last year. He's just still coming along. There's a lot of these players that are very, very, very good stick men. I'd probably say that they just still need that one or two forwards, Michael, that are very, very efficient with the ball in the hand and that can score in very tight spaces. And that
is Shute that, or is Shute just a direct runner? Is he the
runner?
He's more of a runner.
Wouldn't, if Mark comes out with a ball on the wing or anything, he wouldn't be the most accurate.
He wouldn't be
all
over
his shoulder. He wouldn't, because his score and the shooting average would be poor. Like, you know, percentage. He's not that type of player. What he is a bull. Like, if he gets it and turns you, his pace and strength. And seeing the size of him now, if he still has that pace in him, he'd be a nightmare to mark when he turns, you know. Okay. I had a few years in there, a fullback with him in training, so he's a nightmare.
I'll give a bit of a health warning though, guys, here. There's a couple of things for Dublin. There are a lot of players in the Fitzgibbon Cup, which is great. Yeah. I think that's fantastic, Michael. I think it's a great indication of the health of hurling in Dublin. But at the minute, if all those players are playing a number of matches this week, it's just not the ideal way. And the change in the way you play is quite difficult and will take time and may not click for this weekend. And I'm going to talk up Carlow here. Carlow are the most improved team in the country.
They are, yeah.
And I say that very, very clearly. And they've a team, they've even improved in that under Bonner. I just see a real team with cohesion here at the minute. And like last year, they were good, but they didn't have their best forward playing last year. Marty Cavan is the best scoring forward in Carlow. Now, I think there are one or two players that are injured at the minute that would be first-teamers that might actually hurt them. But he definitely has brought him up another notch. And I think that the matches in Parnell Park, that's going to be difficult for them. It is a massive step up to go from where you were up to this level of hurling. It's massive. People don't really realise it, and the quickness of the hurling and the time you have on the ball is very, very different than you have when you're down in 2A. But I think this is going to be a competitive match, and I think if Carlow stay in the game early, it'll be a competitive match. Of course I expect Dublin to win it, but I don't think it's going to be the walkover that our pals in Paddy Power think it's going to be.
The difference here is that Carlow will be playing their first 15 hitting this hard. Dublin might be experimenting a little bit, so Carlow, you know, I think they absolutely will be competitive, but we'd all fancy Dublin to win that. The next one then, lads, on Sunday in Nolan Park is a huge one. It's Kilkenny, who are 6-5, and Cork, who are 5-6, so it looks like Cork are slight favourites for that one in Nolan Park, which is a strange bet that I wouldn't agree with. Cork are interesting, lads. They'll have Alan Cadogan back this year. They have Stephen McDonald, the previous year's captain, back, a leader. Maybe that's what Cork need, a couple of leaders like that. Aidan Walsh is back, who's got loads of experience with the hurlers and the footballers. He played midfield and wing back when he was there the last time, a really strong runner. Tim O'Mahony be a year older, he could solve the centre half back because he looked like a really good player. And when you look at it, lads, there's, well, at least those three fellas anyway, Cadogan, Stephen McDonald, Aidan Walsh, if they had those three lads against Limerick last year coming in off the bench instead of the lads that they did bring on and had to bring Seamus Harnady, who was already injured, back in, like, realistically, lads, Cork kind of, like, they had that game won and then Limerick win it. Like, Cork are no distance away from this. Like,
No. Like, as Shatter said, it was injuries last year against Limerick that killed them. Their whole half forward line, who were really dominant throughout the game, were decimated then, you know. Like,
Daniel Kearney, Luke Mead and Seamus Harnady all got injured.
Decimated. Like,
and they had no bench. No. Other than your man's good, O'Flynn. He's good. He came on.
But it killed them, Willie. Like, and if that happens to your team,
Darvish came in.
Absolutely.
He got injured too, He'd been carrying an injury towards the end of it.
And they were still so close, you know, to winning. So Cork are like a team really to keep an eye on. Again, when we talk about teams to win the All-Ireland, they're definitely in the mix. And I think they have a really good panel this year. And you've named the lads there. Cadogan's the big one for me. He's just, when he's on his day, it's so hard to beat. He might struggle sometimes in the early stages of the league with the bad pitches and that. But once you get to the hard ground, he's so hard to stop. He's very good in the air as well as a good stick man, you know.
Is this fair to say then, Cheddar, that you wouldn't fancy Cork as much in the league in the hard ground with the fancy players they have, and you would fancy them more in the championship because they've backed up their Munster win with another one? Like, I mean, are they a championship sunny day team?
No, they definitely aren't, Woolly. And if you want to say that,
I hate when you disagree with me, Cheddar.
If you want to say that to Stephen McDonald, you're welcome to bring it on. No, I don't think so. I do think, though, Woolley, that they may not be going full on for the league. And look, when John Myler said that we're starting late in terms of their training programme, that sort of tells you a couple of things here. It's not that a team will go in deliberately to lose matches, but their focus may not be full on every single match to go win the game. It may be trying to fill a position or to reintegrate a player or something like that. I think three players you mentioned are interesting. And Michael is right. Alan Cadogan is a serious threat and was on his way to being a serious scoring forward that was very difficult to mark, particularly the way Cork play and the way they open up space. But Stephen O'Donnell has proved to be a really good man marker. Aidan Welsh, he's a real threat in the air. So to bring something different to the team, it's not that you're bringing in like with like. Aidan Welsh is not like Daniel Carney here or something like that. You're bringing something different, which is not dissimilar to what Limerick did in terms of the subs that they're bringing on. So you could have went through all of the phases that Limerick play or Cork play in your preparation for the game, and you've all angles covered, and then somebody comes on who plays completely different, as Limerick did last year, and you're sort of thrown out of your stride then a little bit. So Cork have some things. I do think, though, they do need to improve. I think people are talking them up a little bit too much, to be honest with you, Woolley. I genuinely don't think that they were very near it last year, but would they have won the All-Ireland against Galway after that? I'm not so sure. I think they do need to improve. Whether these players will improve them or not, or whether some young players coming through will improve them, which you'd prefer to see, it will be interesting. I think they need to fix their half-back line. I said it a number of times last year. Defensively, they're okay, but going front foot at speed to get into the open spaces, to be able to drill the precise ball into the legs of Adam Cadogan, needs to improve a little bit for me to really stamp them out as being All-Ireland potential winners.
Coleman, Tim O'Matney and Aidan Walsh, there's a half-back line and two new players. But anyways, listen, we have to move on. Who are you going for here, lads? This is a toss-up, really.
I'm going Cork.
Cork and you, Cheddar?
I go Kilkenny and Nolan Park.
I'd probably agree with that one, Kilkenny and Nolan Park. Wexford, Limerick, this is in Wexford Park at 2 o'clock. Now, this is the game on Sunday, so we'll talk plenty about this on Monday. So I'll just get predictions off you here, lads, because we're getting tight on time. Who do you fancy here?
Limerick.
Limerick are 8-13, Wexford are 13-8 outsiders at home. Now Limerick or Wexford beat them down there, I think it was it last year at the, no 2 years the year before that. Obviously Limerick have improved since then.
I'm just struggling to see Wexford as contenders this year, to be honest. Like with Davey struggling to come back and not like thinking about it, why would he think about it if he had thought he had a serious team there? I know the lads might be doing everything that's asked of them, and they might be a great bunch of lads, but I just don't think it's in the panel to win the All-Ireland. I don't think they have that. I don't see anyone new from last year coming in to say, oh, he's going to win the All-Ireland for us or be a great addition to the panel.
Yeah, so I'd be like that. So you're going for Limerick. What are you going for there, Cheddar?
I think I'd have to go with Limerick, because generally speaking, the year after you come back from an All-Ireland, your first game, you carry over your performance from
they're not long back from Mexico now, I have to find out before you.
I do not know, but
training hard.
Three weeks. Oh, they probably train on holidays.
I think even if you were there, I think you would perform on the day. You just carry over that sort of energy and momentum for you. But I think that this league is massive for Davey. Davey cannot afford to lose the first three or four matches in Wexford, and then the natives getting restless and that, and sort of little belief in the whole model as such, pardon the pun on that word, seeping away a little bit. So I think it's really, really important for him. I think he has Liam Ogan McGovern back this year, who I rate highly, who was a very dangerous type of forward and that. But I just keep going back to Wexford, that they really need to find, no more than Dublin, they really need to find that efficient forward that is a very, very high execution of chances created.
Okay, so you've two Limericks there, and I'll go Wexford just to make sure somebody's right. Galway Leash, Pearce Stadium, lads, we can't spend long on this again. We'll talk about all the teams throughout the championship. Galway 1-50, Leash 11-1, and we'll all have to say that we go for Galway here, and we'll talk about these teams a little bit more.
No, we won't. Sorry now, Bully, but I will never go against Leash regardless of what the odds are.
You're going to go for Leash against Galway away in Pearce Stadium?
I don't care if it's in the
you're letting the heart overrule the head.
Wooly, I don't care if it's in the Aran Islands. We'll go over and we'll battle them over there.
Okay, see, that's why Cheddar did so well for Leash. You see, you're never going to lose a game. You have Waterford then against Offaly and Semple Stadium. So Waterford don't get their home game. So they're 1-20. Offaly are 9-1. I think it's fair to say we'll all go Waterford here without any objections from Cheddar on this one.
For no Waterford.
No, Waterford have, have to take that one.
Okay, great stuff. Then we have National League 2A. We've Antrim against Kerry. We've Westmeath against London. And we've Mayo against Meath. So there is still a bit of an interest in that. Joe Quaid is the Westmeath manager. We'll talk to him over the course of the league. David Herity is in 2B with Kildare. Mm. So there's plenty of interest in those lower leagues. And of course, across the course of the league, we'll talk to managers and players from down the divisions as well. So that's it, lads. That's all we've time for. Who are we going to go to win the league? Who are we going to fancy before we leave?
I'm going Clare.
You're going with Clare to win the league. Cheddar.
I'll go with Kilkenny. I think Brian, over the years, has went ball-headed for every single championship he has been in. I think he will get his team settled and use the league to do that, but still go for the wins, where I think some other managers may not do that.
Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. I'll throw in Cork into the mix, because Cheddar told me that they're not just summer hurlers, they can hurl in the league as well, so I'll go for Cork. All right, that's all we've time for. We'll be back on Monday with a review show as usual, and we'll talk to you then. Good luck.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going. So it opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are. And we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today. Because, like, I'm heartbroken.
The GA Hour is sponsored by Paddy Power. For exclusive content from their GA ambassadors and other high-profile contributors, check out news.paddypower.com.